Good morning, Tridstone. It's probably been a while since I've been this capacity, but nonetheless, it's for those of you who have been sort of like, hey, we're going to hear from you. We're going to lay hands on you at the end of the service and see what's ailing you. just kidding. But several of you have just sort of been like, you know, it's like, hey, you know, it's like, we don't hear from you anymore. And I was like, well, thank God for Pastor Eric, Brother Curtis. They have, you know, been sharing God's word with us. And, you know, what's interesting as I think back, it seemed like God just sort of took me back. A lot of reflection on some things in regard to this. And I know even when Pastor said he was going on vacation, he's like, you be interested in taking? I was like, that's kind of hard to do now. You know, I'm still working full time, do the weekly Sunday school lesson, which that's, you know, a great joy and delight and stuff. And it's like, and I'm not 15 anymore. But nonetheless, you know, what I found out is in spite of being 73 years old, and I praise God for that, that he is showing me some things, even at 73 years old, that's surprising me. And I'm like, okay, Lord. And so I speak, you know, the word over you like that and stuff. So, but hopefully some of my experiences that I share with you this morning in regard to what God has just sort of still, as I said, still teaching. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 34. We give praise to the Father this morning for allow me to share this with you. I don't take this for granted, but as I was saying, I just like I said, a lot of reflection. I'm thinking back to the first time I spoke at Tridstone. And let's see, let me look around here. Julie was here. Theresa was here. Mady was here. I'm not sure Steve and Deb were here. Tim was here. Good day to morning. How long has that been? It's been a while, but nonetheless, you know, God, the Holy Spirit is just so, the way he works sometimes, I'm like, Lord, it's the Lord's doing, it's marvelous in our eyes. And I know that Pastor Vince, you know, he was, we had had Wednesday night Bible study, and he was leaving the parking lot, and he slams on brakes, and he comes running to my window, and he says, the Lord says you're to speak. I was like, well, he did? And he announced it the following Sunday, and it was interesting. God, the Holy Spirit, went to talking to me and said, this is what I want to say. I was like, okay. When I was riding down the road, I was like, Lord, I can't remember all that. Will you wait till I get home so I can write all this down? And he did. I got the Osteno pad out and went to writing. He said, this is what I want to say. I was like, okay. And he had a lot to say. I never forget it. It's like, for some reason, even at my age, God has given me very good recall. And I can draw up images and words and stuff just like pretty good sometimes like that. And I never forget that morning of just the summation of it was. It was like, will you fall back in love with him again? And I never forget the students were here and everything like that and stuff. And God, the Holy Spirit, did an additional work. But nonetheless, this is when Pastor asked me, you know, I was sort of like trying to push it off. It was like, you know, the Lord ain't going to give me nothing like that. But just like probably a day or two after that, the Lord is like, oh, by the way. I was like, okay. So if that's what he wants. So are you there? Psalm 34. Starting at verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James. You may have American Standard, ESV, NLT, Amplified. Still the Word of God. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. A few amens, we'll be out by 3 o'clock, okay? That'll get you motivated. Amen. We do like the old Pentecostals used to do, you know, the Methodists and the Baptists are out, Pentecostals 3 o'clock, the walls are still shaking at their church. It's like, wow, the Holy Ghost is really moving up in there, but nonetheless. But the title of our message is More Reasons to Praise Him. More Reasons to Praise Him. Amen. Going to just read you a few little things to just sort of set our setting, a little background in regard like that. And what is interesting, boy, just there's a lot of good resources out there today, but just going to read you. It's interesting in this particular psalm, it's sort of similar to Psalm 119. It's another one of those acrostic literary forms that for whatever some reason, God the Holy Spirit had these guys to write in this form, in this fashion like that. The title of Psalm 34 ascribes it to David during the time when he was fleeing from King Saul. David found refuge in Gath, a Philistine city, in 1 Sam 21, 10-15. We get a better account of this, exactly what this psalm is speaking to. There he met Abimelech the king, which also his name, really Abimelech was sort of a title in that regard, like that Achish was the king's name. So the fact that David was being pursued by Saul and stuff, he went over to Gath for a little while. David became fearful for his life to escape the pretended, David feigned insanity. Displeased with such demented people, the king sent him away, and David took refuge in the cave of Adullam, southwest of Jerusalem. And this, there he was surrounded by friends, and while he was relatively safe from Saul. And you know what's interesting this year? And we encourage you all to be in Bible study and reading. But for some reason this year, when I read through the historical books, Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, God the Holy Spirit gave me a sensitivity and an empathy that I had never seen for David before. It was almost like God was letting me feel his trials, his anxieties, you know, all the things that he went through. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you showing me through exactly David in his life, how he experienced all these things? We think about the shepherd boy in the field, you know, like the Fullers. They farm and they have all these nice little critters. David took care of the sheep and did those things like that. If you grew up on a farm, you sort of know what I'm talking about. We had a small-scale farm. You had to feed the chickens. You had to feed the cows. You had to feed the pigs, you know, and really, the Jewish society was an agrarian society. Agriculture was the main part of their economy. And so David, being the run of the litter, he had to watch the sheep. And, you know, all the other little livestock in that regard like that. And so, and I think about it, I'm like, okay. Well, you remember as the story went with David, and as it was, when God told Samuel, he was like, the people are wanting a king. They approached him, and God, in essence, said, he says, you don't have to get upset at it. It's not you they're rejecting. They're rejecting me. And so God allowed a monarchy to be born. First King Saul. And then David is next in succession. If you remember anything about Saul at all in regard to like it, he was the first king. And God even said back over in Deuteronomy how that he would, even when they would get a king, all these things that the king would do, and that would happen like that. But we find further in regard to that, like that, in that background, that like this little ruddy kid, David, in regard to the least most likely to succeed. You remember back in the day, at least back in my day, we're in high school, they used to give certain titles to certain students and stuff like that. The least likely to succeed. He'll be president one day, or she will be this, or she will be that. Maybe they didn't do that in your days and stuff, but they used to do that at my old high school, at old Pulaski High, the Orioles, before they consolidated and stuff like that. I didn't get no title for it, so I was just putting myself in the least less likely to succeed category by just, you know, self-appointment in regard like that. And that's seemingly the way God does sometimes. He will take the least, you know, by the world standard, they would be like, you will never amount to anything. And for some of us, that motivates us. It's like, I will show you that I am more than what you say about me. I've even heard instances of teachers said to students, like, you'll never amount to anything. And then that motivates some people. But we see with King David, you remember when Samuel came to Jesse's house and he appointed, you know, all the ones came before him and stuff like that. And you remember in one instance like that, how when Eliab come before, you know, he had on his Rolex watch, he had on an Armani suit, and he was looking fine and good and smelling good. And even Samuel, the man of God, said, surely this is the Lord's anointed. The Lord says, ank. Next choice comes by. And Samuel says to Jesse, he's like, are these all your sons? He says, well, there's one more. He's out with the sheep, you know, the cow pals and all that stuff like that. He's out there in the wilderness watching over the sheep and keeping watch over all that stuff like that. Samuel says, bring him. He comes in, and the Lord says, that's the one. The one that tends to the sheep. Not the one with the Armani, not the one with the Rolex, not the one driving in the red Corvette, but the one that's driving a minivan that's nearly 30 years old. Over 200,000 miles on it now, and it's still running, thank God. Those are the ones that God chooses on various times and various occasions for whatever. He chooses the least most likely, and he puts his spirit in you, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God. So this is what this Christian life is about. This is what this Christian life is about, is you're born again, and God says, I'm going to make a down payment and put a deposit in you, and he's called the Holy Spirit. And he will help you grow. He will teach you of all things about me. In the gospel according to St. John, in regard like that. And he will show you things yet to come. But what even is more beautiful to me is I'm seeing God's work in the old covenant, the work of the Holy Spirit. It just seems like I see him more and more working. Just like he's working in the new covenant. Maybe it's just something God, the Holy Spirit, is revealing more to me, is showing me more and more. Is like, I was with David out there, you know, in the wilderness. I see the Ruach HaKodesh. He was working in their lives even then and showing them his ways in regard to that. So let's get into our lessons. More reasons to praise him. Starting in verse 1. In verse 1, the psalmist affirmed that he would bless the Lord at all times. And as we said, you know, it's interesting. David was sort of like running from Saul. And even in regard to that, because of the fact that Saul had disobeyed, did not destroy the Amalekites as God had said. And Samuel told him, the kingdom has been ripped, taken from you, and it's going to give to your neighbor, who is better than you. But even at this time where David is being pursued by Saul's men, and even he's in a sense in the enemy's camp and stuff like that, David had to just get whack out and just feign this insanity and stuff like that. And it's almost like Achish is like, I got enough crazies around here. You got to go. Okay? Why do you keep bringing me crazies around here, y'all? You know, it's like, you know, I've got some, you know, derelicts around here and stuff like that. And seemingly this David is here and stuff like that. And here he is, you know, spitting in his beard and carrying on. And, you know, it's like, away with you, out of here. I don't need you. Goodbye. Be gone from me. But as we read here, even in that period of time of David being just, oh my goodness, to and fro, running, looking over his shoulder all the time and stuff like that, he's still giving praise to God. That's a spiritual life lesson for all of us. No, we are a kingdom of priests, but under then, you know, the monarchy then as it was. Turn on your spiritual imagination and hear with me this morning. in regard to David, who is to be the next king in line. Even one of Saul's sons tried to usurp the authority and take the throne. But God had already ordained David. But we see here this. In verse 1, the psalmist affirmed that he would bless the Lord at all times. Certainly this included good times, but also included the bad times. Paul stopped there for a minute. There's another spiritual life lesson for us. That's the test of this thing. That's really one of the tests of it. In the good times, it's easy. Praise the Lord. I got my favorite food. I got the remote. I got my 80-inch TV. Life is good. But then Saul goes to pursuing you. You'll not be king if I can do it, because I got my javelin in my hand. If I get a chance, I'm going to nail you to the wall. But even sometimes the call of God, there's adversity to you ascend to that position. The trial, the tribulation, the adversity will come your way in such a time. And like I said, when the bad times come, and I had to learn this lesson the hard way in regard to a family matter, God has gone nowhere. Okay? When you're spiritually out of sorts, and we will get there sometimes, when you sort of get spiritually like, God, where are you? We do that. We have a tendency to sort of get distance from Him, but who moved? He didn't move. He didn't move at all. He was still there. But David is giving us just this spiritual teaching this morning that even in the bad times, I will bless you at all times, Lord, though I'm being pursued, though I'm being lied on, may have been all these things that seemingly are against me, there is one who is for us. And, he never changes. He's always there. David was in this life and death struggle. His efforts to find a safe refuge from Abimelech had come to naught. So now, as I said, he had to to get himself out. He had to feign that insanity and stuff, and then he becomes a fugitive. So as I said this year, my tenderness to see almost a more in-depth examination of this seemingly biography of David, seeing the things that he seemingly had to go through before he became the king, it was interesting that all those trials and stuff were worth it. And he said he still declared that he would praise God even though he had insurmountable opposition against him. This vow to praise the Lord regardless of the circumstances finds its fulfillments in verses 2 and 3, and we'll get to those in a minute. But the fact of the matter is, he still has to hang out in the in the cave of Adullam. Can you imagine that? I haven't done any caving, but the fact of the matter is, he did. With several hundred men. Can you imagine that? We won't even go there to think about all the logistics of that and everything like that. But nonetheless, he had to hide out in a cave, but he's still praising God. Amen. In spite of the accommodations weren't the Holiday Inn. They weren't. The cave of Adullam. He had to hang out there. And all these men that were following him, seemingly everyone was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, as about 400 men, and mostly a motley crew of down and outers placed a heavy responsibility upon David. And this psalm may have been written to reassure them, to direct them to God as a source of power. Amen. That's for us today as well too. In spite of just like seemingly the responsibilities and, whether it be for your business, your work, your vocation, or whatever it is, we have all these responsibilities, but God is able to guide our lives in such a way that we can navigate these things without, all the anxieties and everything that would seemingly come our way. Praise has to be an important part in our everyday life. We do prayer, we do Bible study, various other Christian disciplines in regard to that. But I found that for me, more and more I'm having to praise him. More and more. I'm having to just, in spite of just like, you know, the unpleasant sometimes, the disdainful. It's like the sometimes, Lord, why am I having to go through this? You know, and then I have to come back to the cross and see him on the cross. It's like, hey, Louie, have you had nails in your hand and your feet lately? Is what you're going through so painful that you can't endure it for my sake? You say you love me. So what's the problem? So sometimes, you know, some of the things you preach, they come back to you, and the Lord may say, well, let's just find out, is that just word of mouth, or is it really down in your heart? You know, we can have scripture in our head, but we need to make a deposit down to your heart. It needs to get in your spirit, man. Spirit of God taking the word of God, and he shows us Christ. And therefore, as we said, you know, the psalmist, even pastors doing Psalm 119, one of the psalms is, that I may hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. As we plant God's word down into our heart, our spirit man, God the Holy Spirit, only feeds off what? You've heard me say some of these things before, but this is 101. But it's almost like the Spirit is saying, like a refresher for some of us, to realize that some of these things, we forget. We're human beings still, though God, the Holy Spirit, is living in us. It's unfortunately one of those things is we forget some of the most basic things about Christianity, so we have to come back to the 101 level and realize we must bless the Lord at all times and let his praise be in our mouths. You don't want to go through a dry season when you don't have to. It's interesting the way my Bible reading guide goes, and it's in the back of my Bible here in regard to that, like at during the summer months, you know, we've been watching some baseball. We like the Yankees. And it's one of the players, he's been in a summer slump. And I see somebody's head going like that. They must be another fan, you know. We would tolerate that. But nonetheless, that cat has been in a slump, you know. And you know during the summer months when it's nice and easy, it's warm and all these other things, life seems so easy. And you can get spiritually lazy. But my Bible, the outline, the way it goes, the Psalms are to be read all during the summer months. And for me, that was just like such a help. Because like when you read the Psalms, you have lament, you have triumph, you have tragedy, you have imprecatory Psalms in regard to it like that. But this book, as I call it, the old Jewish hymnal book in regard to, and they are so beautiful. And I mean, these can teach us in such a way, even under the new covenant in regard, I see so much that you can glean out of these psalms that will help us to be spiritually healthy when we praise God, and that just allows us to just grow in that grace and knowledge of him in such a way that we realize why the old Jews did it the way they did it, and we can learn from those lessons from them as well too. I see so many types and shadows in some of those scriptures in regard to how they praised him and just how their lives were just similar to ours, or what, other than the technology, what was different. You know, we have all this technological things that we do, and they had technology too. They just didn't have, you know, well, they did have wireless communication because they could talk to God. You know, wireless communication, before we discovered it, was already going on, that men and women were talking to God even back in the day. And so we see that all these things, you know, nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. So as we continue reading on here, in verses 2 and 3, we see, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. You know, you think of boasting in one regard as like, you know, there can't be anything fruitful in it, but depends on what we're boasting about or whom we're boasting about. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. You remember Jeremiah, the weeping prophet who, a pre-exile prophet who's telling the people, if you don't repent, you will go into exile into Babylon. And he wept over the people because he knew that if they did not turn, that they would be exiled to Babylon. And we're just sort of reading into a middle of a thought here, because the way it outlines it in my Bible, the people mourn in judgment. But God was talking in regard to boasting. Verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. These things I delight in, the Lord says. You remember Paul talked about the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in regard to, you know, the Jews want a sign, the Greeks seek wisdom in regard to that. But in regard to boasting, Paul said, I will boast in regard to the fact that God, and even talking about one time boasting about his infirmities in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 in regard to his thorn in the flesh like that. But God, if we're going to talk about anything that's going to be exalting, it needs to be about the Lord, about his goodness, about telling of the goodness of the Lord of the land of the living. And that the fact of, even in the midst of that, Jeremiah was telling the people, this is what God is pleased with, that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness there. For these things, the Lord said, I delight in. More reasons to praise him. More reasons to praise him, that in spite of the hounding of Saul and his men's nipping at David's heels all the time and stuff like that, and all the other life issues that he had as being king, oh my goodness, and stuff, but yet and still, Scripture calls him the man after God's own heart. You know, I've found that as I grow in grace of knowledge, you can still make some boo-boos and God still loves you. You can make some major boo-boos. I mean, Jesus cleaned up the mess I just made boo-boos. I guess I'm the only one. You know, look, can I tell you about him? No. But in spite of some of David's getting off base on some things with God, and of course some of it, fortunately, God forgave him. We know the incident with Bathsheba in regard to that. But I found that even sometimes when I miss the mark and I repent, God is still there saying, welcome back. Welcome back. You sort of took a little walk away from me there, and I'm still standing here with my arms up and wide like, son, why are you walking away from me? Why aren't you coming to my altar, confessing where you failed and, you know, sinned against me and stuff like that? We have a mercy seat with our God. You know, the type and shadow it showed, talking about the Ark of the Covenant in regard, that mercy seat. His lamentation says, it is of his mercies we are not consumed. Really? That's the utter holiness of our God. He is so utterly holy that really we should be consumed because of our sin. But because of his mercies that are new every morning, great, great, great is his faithfulness toward us. And so he's given me more reasons to praise him in that regard like that, because it is like sometimes I'm like, Lord, if I was God, I would kick me to the curb. Why should I fool with you? Since you just have this tendency sometimes to just mess up. But he still loves us. He still extends his heart and his arms and his presence to us and says, my son, my daughter, come back to me. I love you. Why don't you come back to me instead of taking a walk on the wild side and sort of pouting and venting and carrying on and stuff like that? You could be giving me praise and watch what I could do in your life. So why is praise really that important in the life of a believer? Think about it. Why is praise important? Is God worthy of praise? He is. But for sometimes, we're still sort of smitten with our own self-importance sometimes. Amen? I don't care what your vocation is, whether you got a prefix or suffix with your name, if it's Dr. This or that or the other things and stuff like that. And compared to him, all that, you know, I'm not against education. I've been working Virginia Tech 40 plus years and stuff like that. But what I found is we need spiritual education as well. You know, you can go in a certain vocation or field and stuff, all well and good. God will guide your steps in regard to it. I know that even my job at Virginia Tech, I never forget one time, I looked over there and I said, Lord, I'd like to have a job there. Guess who opened that door? 41 years I've been there. You think our God can't do the exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think? And what was even more interesting, I never forget it. It was just so odd, so wild. When I was riding by and I looked over and I said that to the Lord, it thundered so hard and it scared me. And I was like, is that your amen? Oh! And it was a little while after that door opened, that he opened and allowed me to get. That's worthy of a praise. Let's just look at praise in a personal application way. Praise is extremely important in the Bible as a way of acknowledge God's greatness, express gratitude, invite his presence, draw nearer to him. I mean, it's just, goodness. It is a command for all people, a spiritual weapon, and a way to strengthen our faith by focusing on God's power and his character. Even in difficult times, praise fosters a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. And that's some of the stuff that I am learning now, is like the fact of, in spite of the obstacles, when you praise him, he helps you navigate those troubled waters better. Amen? Praise is a weapon. It helps us through those difficult times. And my brothers and sisters, if you think you're going to get out of this world without some difficult times, I hate to be a bearer of bad news or reality news, is the fact of we live in a fallen, cursed world. And we see some of the things that are happening in culture, a lot of noise in the culture today. Oh, my goodness. But that's, if you remember back in the book of Acts, it was like when the church got persecuted, that's when the church grew. That's when the church managed to start growing. As we praise him, we invite his presence. We draw nearer to him. That's what I'm finding and stuff like that. When I get mentally bogged down and all these thoughts are racing through my big head and stuff like that, really, when I do this, the peace of God that passes all understanding comes in and calms my mind, my spirit, my whole being in regard like that. And so therefore we find that a lot of times we forfeit the benefit of him. Let's just be honest, by whining and complaining, and I've done it. And I'm like, Lord, I've got so much to be thankful for. Why would I do that? But the flesh, unfortunately, we still live in this fallen house, this clay pot that we live in. But when we praise him, my brothers and sisters, oh, a sweetness of God, the Holy Spirit just so wants to elevate and lift us up from the, you know, the dark places of life and cause us to look to him from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Praise fosters a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, transforming believers by shifting their focus from their problems to his divine attributes, and enabling peace to refresh and renew them. Why praise is essential in the Bible. Just a few more things. It honors God's attributes. We won't have time to go through all those, but just a few of them. Praise is a fundamental way to acknowledge God's sovereignty. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. There's no other authority above him. No other authority, no other God. He's the only one. You know what's interesting? If you read through Isaiah chapter 40 through 66, we see God almost like around about 44 and 45. God is talking about, I don't know about any other God. Yahweh is saying, I don't know. It's almost like he's having like, you call it a soliloquy? It's almost like God is just like saying, I'm it and there's nobody else. He just speaks and tells Isaiah as he's having him to write all this glorious, beautiful prophecy that he has him to write in regard is, and God is saying, I know not one. We know that the gods of the world, wood. He talks about that in the Psalms as well, too, in regard to the idols of men's, the works of men's hands. Eyes have they see not. Nose have they. But you think about it, you know, you cut down a piece of a tree, you make your bread by making a fire, and then you carve out an idol, and you do obeisance to this little wooden idol that you put up on your mantle now. That was going on even in Israel, that they would bow to idols and worship something they made of their own hands. Thank God, knowing him now in regard to that he is creator of heaven and earth, the seas and all things. There's no way I bow down to his creation. I praise him for his creation in regard to seeing, oh my goodness, it is like so awesome. Of his creation, because sometimes I think like, Lord, how awesome is this being? You think of Adam and Eve. He creates these us human beings just by speaking into the soil, and human beings are created. That's enough to praise him for right there, of this awesomeness, who is unlimited in power, unlimited in knowledge, and he's able to create. It invites God's presence. The Bible teaches us that God dwells in our presence. Psalm 22:3 says, O thou that inhabits the praise of Israel. And sometimes I think we miss that sometimes. When you're in here, when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're in the classroom, when you're at wherever you may be and stuff like that. God wants to inhabit your praise by us first and foremost giving him praise. And it says he lives in that. Could you just imagine for a minute when we do like we were doing this morning? Praise team did a great job this morning just leading us into God's presence through song and regard like that and stuff. And God says, I will come and bring my presence in the midst of that. That should cause us some rejoicing. That when we do it right, when we do sing and our hearts are in tune with him, when we do it in such a way that God says, I'm going to come and just live in that for a little while. Hang out with y'all. Is that cool or not? I just want to come and hang out with y'all for a little while. Since you want to praise me and give me thanks and everything like that, I'll come and inhabit that. And even when you're one-on-one with just him, it can happen then as well too. That we would praise him in spite of the obstacles. It strengthens faith. During challenges, praise serves as a reminder of God's power and past acts. Like I said, it's like sometimes we, as humans, we still forget. And then I have to come back again. It's like, Lord, I'm forgetting something here. Helping to strengthen the believer's faith when they feel weak and uncertain. God says he'll never leave us or forsake us, but whether it's just the flesh, the world, or the devil, sometimes we just sort of lose that focus on him, and all of a sudden we get a little spiritually distant from him and stuff. And but when we praise him back again, it's like his presence is just so pleased that we just like come back to him. It's a command. The Bible commands that everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 150 right quick. Let's just read that. That's a short one. We can read that one right quick. Reading in your hearing, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So the little birdie that's singing in your window in the morning, you was like batting on the door, like, go away. You're waking me up. Maybe he's praising God. Amen. Because I know a few times a birdie was at my window and stuff like that, and I was trying to sleep late. It's like, boy, he turned up the volume. I was like, dude, can't you go sing somewhere else? I know you might be praising God, but I'm trying to sleep. But all of creation praises him. Think about it. All of creation. The sun, the moon, the stars. Oh my goodness, the works of Yahweh's hands. Elohim in creation, Ruach Elohim in creation, for all his awesome mighty acts that he has done in the sons and the daughters and the children of men. Praise can lead to transformation by chasing away despair, promoting a sense of gladness, helping believers to experience God's peace, the shalom of God. You'll need that peace that passes all understanding. Because as I said, with all this, if we're not in the last days, I just believe we are. All scripture indications show that, especially, you know, we talk about AI and ChatGPT and all that stuff, and the fact that in Daniel 12, it talks about knowledge will be greatly increased. Scripture is being fulfilled right before our very eyes, and so many people are just like, all this, excitement over a device that man has created. But yet many within the academic community would say that there is no creation. It's like, okay, so you created this device. How did this thing just sort of pop into a being? Did it not have some human intelligence and intervention of some kind? Let's apply that to creation. It's seemingly sometimes even within academia, there's intelligence, but there's not sometimes. Amen. Amen. It's seemingly, I worked on this research for all these many years, and all of a sudden ChatGPT comes out now, and it was like it happened overnight. No, there had to be some human intervention there. And in the case of creation as we know it, it was divine intervention that brought everything into existence that we know, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. All that is all his awesome creation. And there's no way, as we say, goo to you by way of the zoo, no way that this just happened by some unintelligent, random, unguided process. As we said, praise leads to transformation by chasing away despair, promoting a sense of gladness, helping the believer experience God's peace. Praise is an act of sacrifice, given freely, willingly from the heart, rather than out of obligation. So, it's like sometimes we're sort of a little grudging, like, do I have to praise him? No, you get to praise him. Amen. When you come in here and maybe you hit a pothole and you got a flat tire, come in here and praise him. Amen. Because there's going to be some roadblocks. There's going to be some potholes. There's going to be some aches and pains in your body. There's going to be life events. Life gets messy sometimes, but praise needs to be consistent in our life nonetheless. It does. I had to learn that lesson myself. Okay, I'm not just preaching to y'all, beating y'all up. I have learned this by my own spiritual experience. That in spite of the tough times, as we call them, oh, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and we're thankful unto him, and we bless his name. Amen. Amen. There are simple little truths in scriptures that are so profound, but sometimes we just bypass them. And the scriptures are there. It's like, hey, won't you apply this? Have you got a better remedy for your life and all of its situation? The scripture answers most all questions of life. There may be some gray areas, but if you get before God, the Holy Spirit, eventually he starts to show you that area maybe that's difficult for you, and he wants to show you, this is how I row. Amen. This is how Yahweh rose, okay? It's different from the world and the world system and all of its trappings and everything. You know, it's just that way. He's that good to us. So, this is what Albert Barnes had to say in regard to this, and we're about to wrap it up. I will bless the Lord. I will praise Him. I will be thankful for His mercies. Will always express my sense of His goodness. At all times, in every situation of life, in every event that occurs, the idea is that He would do it publicly and privately. You know how David praised the Lord, dancing and twirling and all these demonstrative actions that praise God in such a way. In prosperity, in adversity, in safety and in danger, in joy and in sorrow, it would be a great principle of life, expressed a deep feeling of the soul, that God was always to be regarded as an object of adoration and praise. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will be constantly uttering His praises. My thanks shall be unceasing. This expresses the purpose of the psalmist. This is an indication of the nature of true piety. With truly pious man, the praise of God is constant. It is an indication of true religion when a man is disposed always to bless God, whatever may occur. Irreligion, unbelief, skepticism, worldliness, false philosophy, murmur, complain under the trials and amidst dark things of life, true religion, faith, love, spirituality of mind, Christian philosophy, see in God always an object of praise. People who have no real piety, but who make pretension to it, are disposed to praise and bless God in times of sunshine and prosperity. That's us sometimes. True piety always regards Him as worthy of praise, in the storm as well as in sunshine, in the dark night of calamity as well as in the bright days of prosperity. That's good. That just sort of brings it down to the conclusion. So in closing, I would say to you, the enemy can make sin very attractive to us, even the believer. And my brothers and sisters, keep your spiritual antennae high now, because we see that he knows, or he has little time. But unfortunately, he is deceiving the multitudes. And we, Paul said one time, what was it? A door of opportunity is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. Even in the midst of all that's going on is opportunity to witness of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It is. I mean, you may think, you know, the difficulty, that's the time to press in with your praise, with your thanks, in such a way that God can use us. There's a cosmic conflict, a spiritual war going on. And don't be aware of those little impulses towards sin, because the enemy wants to just trip us up if he can. But keep your lamps trimmed and burning, knowing that the Lord is drawing nigh. Don't get lifted up in spiritual pride. That happens to the believer as well, too. It can happen to us, yes. Life will get messy sometimes, but there's one constant. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. None of this is causing him, it's like, nope. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. He has seen it all, from Adam falling to David sinning to me sinning. He sees it all. But now he wants us to draw nigh unto him with our praise. More reasons to praise him. Quickly, just two little last stories I want to just share with you. God taking me on this praise journey. And this was probably about a couple of years ago. It was one morning. Goodness, I never forget. This is what God the Holy Spirit said to me just when praise and worship was just about to end. God the Holy Spirit spoke and said, if you want to get beyond where you are right now, you have to praise me. I thought for a minute on what he said. I said, I thought I adequately praised you this morning, Lord. And I pondered further. And just about a few minutes after that, a portion of his presence just came down on me. And I'm like, oh my God, Lord, what do I do with this? You know, it talks about in the Old Testament about the heaviness, the weightiness, the kabod, the weightiness of his presence. It felt like a lot of times on feelings, but his presence came on me with a heaviness. And I was like, Lord, I can't swim, but I'm going to ride this wave for a while and praise you for all that I'm worth. Loud, proud, rattle the rafters, shake the walls, suck the air out of the room, and give you praise. You know, there's times of small, medium, large. They all work in praising God. And you just reckless abandon and give him praise. It may seem to the human eye sometimes in the human ears like, what is wrong with that cat this morning? It's like the Most High would just come by his presence and light up on you, and we just give him praise for his goodness, his mercy, his grace. For the Lord Jesus Christ, he is good all the time. There's those times that there are just, like I said, you know, the light praise, the medium praise, and then there's just that thunderous praise. You see all those in the old covenant, you see those instances of praise that is just off the chart. And there was one more recently on vacation, a few months back and stuff like that, and we went to North Topsail Beach, and it is something special about the beach. I don't know what it is and stuff. So one morning, I was having my devotion time, and so it was like, you know, and just, we got a place, it was almost in the ocean, really. It was about 50 yards from the ocean. And I mean, at high tide, you couldn't even go on the beach because the water covered the beach like that. But it's something about the waves and the air and everything like that. But for me that morning, what was interesting was I was out on the deck, had my coffee, had my Bible. Matey was inside because she's, of course, wanted the cool air and wanted the AC. So I went out on the deck and did my devotion time. So I did my prayer. I started in my Bible reading, but it was like his presence came by. I was like, press pause on the Bible reading and let me praise you for a while. I looked out in the ocean and I seen some dolphins jumping and playing out in the ocean. And I just thought about him and his awesome creation. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go again. Taking that deep dive into praise. And so I just made him come out there one time, and she didn't realize I was in an ozone of praise or somewhere way out there. And I just like, Lord, oh my God, there's times that like that, I don't know whether it was just cause, you know, just, you know, taking that time off at that time of refreshment or whatever it was, or he just for some reason chose to come by to the beach for a few minutes and hang out with me in my devotion time. And we just hung out for a while and praised him for all I was worth again. I'm like, Lord, they can't hear me. The waves are crashing. Let me be loud and give you praise again. And those times like that, it's just you and him one on one. Yes, we do it corporately in here as well too. But do it all. Individually, corporately, all the time, more reasons to praise him, amen.